My name is Owen Flynn, and welcome to episode 116 of the Trail Running Ireland podcast. In this week's episode, we talk to Dr. Joe Warren on making the transition from shorter races on the road and track to longer races on the mountains. Joe will give us his top three tips for making the transition as he talks about his own journey from being a national track champion and a 404 miler to a top 10 at Ultra Trail Snowdonia by UTMB this year and ambitions to take on and conquer UTMB itself. Everyone, get your running gear on. Let's go. Hey guys, hope the summer is going well, everyone, and that you are enjoying your training and your racing with some big days of trail running and racing on the horizon with the Dublin Mountain Trail Running Festival coming up on the 26th of July, and then the big ones, the Kerryway Ultra, the Seven Sisters Skyline and Eco Trail Wicklow, all coming up in a busy month of September, as well, of course, as the full racing calendar of weekly IMRA races and the Irish Championships going on, with Niamh O'Boyle currently leading the women's championships after four races of six and Sean Quirk leading the men's. And I'm sure we also have a few listeners getting ready for the UTMB World Series Finals in Chamonix at the end of August. It is exciting times if you are a trail runner. Before we call in Joe, I say it every episode and I'll say it again. A sincere thank you to all of our group of Patreons who support the show each month with the price of a gel per month. And a shout out to Catherine Devitt and Joe McHale, who both very kindly became Patreons since our last episode. Really appreciate it, guys. And if you would like to also help out the podcast, do please head over to Patreon, Trail Running Ireland Podcast, when you have a moment. And even a small donation for a month or two will help keep the show going all year round. Okay, so as we give Rennie a little break this week to enjoy the summer, let's dial in our special guest, Dr. Joe Warren, who has transitioned from a superb 800 metre and 1500 metre runner on the track, one of the best in the country indeed over the last 20 years, now to a trail runner who has won the 80k at Eco Trail Wicklow, who was top 10 at the Ultra Trail Snowdonia by UTMB this year, and being the supreme competitor that he is, I am sure that he has the ambition to achieve even more and more results in the world of trail running over the coming years. Joe Warren, great to have you back on the podcast, Joe. And Joe, it's 100 episodes later. We first spoke on the podcast about 5 years ago, not too long after you won the Eco Trail 80 kilometers. And we spoke about your ideas on the pillars of human performance. And we touched on that great win in the first edition of Eco Trail, if my memory serves me right. So Joe, 100 episodes later, 5 years later, great to have you back on the podcast, buddy.
Thanks, Owen. What a pleasure. Yeah, I can't believe it's been 5 years. How time flies.
Yeah, and isn't it great that we're still running, Joe, thankfully?
Running strong, yeah.
Exactly. And Joe, in that episode, I did ask you about the reasons why you changed from, you know, being a very dedicated and very good track runner over a sustained period of 15 years, which in itself is phenomenal. Why you made that jump to 80k in Eco Trail that year. And I might just ask the same question, Joe, again, knowing that from just looking at some of your stats over the last couple of years, it wasn't that you did Eco Trail and then abandoned the track and just went straight into the trail races and attacked the UTMB World Series. You went back and you had some more very good track seasons, especially indoor track seasons, and then came back to the trails again. So just maybe for the listeners to understand the why in the first place and how you've bounced between the two for a little bit before maybe concentrating all in over the last 12, 18 months. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I think growing up always I knew at some point I would make some form of transition back to Running on the trails. And I say back to because we grew up in the foothills of West Cork, where most of my training, we lived really in the absolute middle of nowhere. Most of my training was up in the mountains, and the escapism of it was something that, I learned very early and I really enjoyed. So whilst then I'm, my big focus became on the track and doing that, as you said, for quite a long period of time. I was fairly unique when I was a track athlete, and that aside from that, in the off seasons, I would spend a huge amount of my time in adventure sports like rock climbing, ice climbing, mountaineering. I would try some mad adventures and occasionally do the adventure race. And I was very interested in these bigger challenges that involve some form of adventure aspect. And so I think inevitably, I mean, it's easy to say it now looking back, but there were a couple of key points for me that kind of drew me towards eventually going to trail ultras. And I think one that stands out was about 18 years ago, about my first year in college. So actually would have been probably the first year I won a national senior, about 18 or 19 years of age. And in the off season in August, I went over to Chamonix in a solo bike trip, and I rented a mountain bike and tried to cycle the Tour of Mont Blanc. Because I was big into just adventure and getting out, and this is something I really wanted to do. It was a big challenge. And it was an incredible trip, something I'll never forget. And in particular, I remember I was trying to go up the Col de la Seine, and obviously it's quite steep and a long ascent up there, including it, you're up to pushing 3,000 meters of altitude. And I was suffering beyond belief because I was just not in any way acclimatized to this. And I was an 800 meter track athlete, fairly young. And I was just suffering. And so I end up lying down the bike. It was getting dark. I didn't make it over the col, and just pulled out my sleeping bag and slept on the side of the mountain there that night, and had a fantastic adventure. But the next day, when I was recounting this story to a couple of passerby, they said, "You know that some people run this. This is a race." And I said, "This is just incredible that somebody can run all around this." And I thought, maybe one day, if I have the fitness to be able to do something like that, it would be a fantastic life achievement. So I knew about UTMB very early on. It was always in my mind that, when I kind of reached the twilight of my track career, and I never made it quite as high as I wanted on the track, but certainly I wasn't too shabby. That the transition was to come, and the big sterling point for me was that we decided at some point I had a kind of season where I wasn't running as well as I usually was. I was normally very consistent. I had, I think, a 12-year window where I didn't fail to make a national senior final, so I was very consistent for a long period of time. And then I had a season where I just wasn't showing any form, and we decided to go traveling for a year. And on that trip, I made the decision to run the Morris, the not the Morris, the Wick, the
Eagle Trail.
no, excuse me, the in New Zealand, there's the
Oh.
Sound, Milford Sound. It's a very
Okay.
famous trail, 60 or 70 kilometers. And I decided to run that and had a phenomenal time and said, "This is for me now." And that was the incentive to sign up for Eco Trail.
You had that great win in your first 80K, Joe, which was fantastic. But then, as I said, you did come back onto the track, and it wasn't then just straight into the trails. And just to give an idea to the runners of the quality of track athlete that you were, Joe, everybody knows of the 4-minute mile, and you were a 4:04 miler, if I'm not mistaken, a sub 1:50 800 meter runner, low 3:40s 1500 meter runner. So yeah, it was an incredible career that you had. And you weren't maybe willing to let it go completely. You had to win an Eco Trail, and then you went back for a couple more seasons, maybe as well, before making that solid jump, maybe 2 or 3 years later, to take on three or four of the UTMB World Series races.
Yeah, and I'm not sure whether that was entirely deliberate, in that actually the following year after Eco Trail, because the worst thing that happened to me there, I joked to my family, is that I did well in the Eco Trail 80K, and then I said, "Well, this is the worst thing could happen because now I'm going to be addicted to this." And I actually signed up the year after for the Wicklow Way Ultra, 127K, and that was then followed by COVID, so that shut all of that down. So actually, I was always training like a track runner. In fact, it was only in the last 12 months I've really made the commitment to actually cop on a bit and train like a trail athlete. I've been pretending to be a track runner and then racing in the trails, and as I've learned, my performances have been pretty underwhelming from trying to do that. So through COVID, I end up getting very track fit because running on the roads around here and getting out for small track sessions was kind of the only avenue I had, and then I got kind of got back into that, and I ended up going to the World Masters, and I got silver in the outdoors and won the indoor worlds there. I still have plans maybe in a couple of years to go back and try and win the over 40 World Masters, I think, in over 800 meters, just for the challenge, you know.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, talk to us then about when you did make that decision to focus on the trails, Joe, because I'm sure just like you applied yourself to such a fantastic level of excellence on the track, I'm sure you wanted to use those same attributes, that same work ethic on the trails. And maybe what we were going to talk about today was your top three tips for making that transition, whether it's somebody coming from the track like yourself, or maybe somebody coming from road marathons or 5Ks or 10Ks on the road, or even say some of the shorter distances on the IMRA calendar. They've been doing the short races on the IMRA calendar for a couple of years, and now they want to try an Eco Trail or Kerryway Ultra or step on to the international race serious, like for example the UTMB races. I was going to ask you, Joe, maybe your top three tips that you've used to try and make that transition and to try and compete with the big boys around Europe. You got the top 10 in Ultra Trail Snowdonia, you've taken on UTMB, you took on Val d'Aran there a couple of weeks ago, the European Major. Maybe we could go through, Joe, your top three tips.
Yeah, maybe leading into that, Owen, we should talk about the context of why I decided to really go at it. You
Okay.
know, what maybe the because that's kind of where my tips come from is kind of learning through failure. You know, and I said one of the big things that I was trying to do not very well for a couple of years was trying to put balance being running on the track and staying track fit while also, you know, dabbing in doing these because I knew end goal for me was UTMB and still is lifelong goal right now is UTMB finish line is what I want to see. And so, in fact, it was 2 weeks after the World Indoor Masters over 800, where all my training had begun towards that I did my first 110K UTMB Istria. And naturally, I hadn't done the conditioning work and I had a catastrophic failure there. I was running top 10 early on, quads completely failed and ended up, you know, late 20s, early 30s, way off where I wanted to be. And the second thing, kind of, that was, you know, holding me back probably for a few years of really giving it my all is kids, young kids. You know, I've now 1 and a 3 year old, and as you well know, you've plenty of babas running around. It's, you know, it takes a lot of your time and effort. So when I kind of said, okay, now I'd like to get into it, it was really, you know, right place, right time, with a few underwhelming performances. One that stands out for me in Ireland is the Maurice Mullins, which I ran to, yeah, 2 years ago now. With the plan of getting under that cutoff of 5.5 hours and making that team. And it was actually 10 days after my son was born. And of course, as you know, there was no sleep at all. And I had a massively underwhelming day. So, you know, I've had certainly an underwhelming few years transitioning to the trail. And then from that, made a lot of lessons that have led to this. And I think the first big one for me is that if you are doing shorter races, whether it's on the trail or on the track or on the road, the logistics of these are very simple. It really is a race about getting from A to B very quickly and trying to maximize the efficiency of doing that. But when you move to ultra endurance on the trail, your logistics bloom. There is a huge amount of things that you need to consider. So, you know, just as a list, for example, you've got your weather, whether it's heat, humidity, whether it's cold, altitude, the different terrain, the different distances, the weight that you have to carry, the nutrition planning and how you deal with that. You've got hydration planning and management. You've got sleep if it's an overnight race. You've got the emotional ups and downs that come with going through good and bad patches, which are pretty inevitable. You've got pacing strategies that can very commonly go wrong. There's often route finding, particularly if you're sleep deprived and it's at night and you maybe make the wrong turn. You've got to deal with that. And then, of course, there's the actual the muscle damage, the detriment that comes from being on your feet for a huge amount of time. So I would describe trying to prepare for something like this, which is first a practice of really doing your research and making sure that you can tick as many of these logistics boxes as you can, leading into, you know, these things and being prepared on the day when you're racing to be adaptive, to be able to respond to and deal with many of these different adversaries, because it is going to inevitably rear its head in some way or another. There's very few ultras that you'll run where things just go perfectly smooth, and there's very little that you didn't have to manage during the race.
Yeah, how did you cope with that change, Joe? Because, as I mentioned, you're used to running a mile in just over 4 minutes, or, an 800 meters in less than 1 minute 50, where everything is just so quick and so sharp, and just like your training sessions for those type of races are all within pretty much an hour period, give or take a warm up and a cool down either side. Did you enjoy that many added layers that you need to, hours and hours that you need to spend, not just training, but the logistics involved as well? Did you enjoy that, or was it a bit of a pain? Was it more like homework in order for you to be able to run? You needed to do all this homework on top of it. What
No, I
was the mental
absolutely
challenge
adore it.
like?
I adore it. And it comes back from, firstly, of course, I'm a professional sports scientist, so I've got a lot of these tools in my back pocket anyway. And now it gives me opportunity, instead of just thinking about maximum pace and, getting around the track as quick as I can now utilize a lot of these different skill sets and tools to, in
Yeah.
longer distances. A good example of that is one thing I did very well in Eco Trail at the time where people weren't really thinking about it is I took in significantly more fuel than anybody else, I believe, on that day. My bag was double the size, and it's the reason I didn't slow down. And many, many people who probably should have beaten me did slow down.
Yeah.
So
What are you up to now, Joe, out of curiosity? Carbohydrates per hour when you're attacking these big races? Because I was only just listening to a podcast on Ben Healy's great performances over the last couple of days. And the guy mentioned that Ben Healy is up to about 145 carbohydrates per hour, albeit on the bike.
yeah, I
But
was going to say on the bike you do have less of that biochemical and that the friction that causes a lot of that irritation in the stomach. I'm up to somewhere between 70 and 90 grams of carbs an hour, and I can tolerate that just fine.
All gels or in liquid format as well?
It depends on the distance. If I'm this year, I went back to just focusing on trying to race some shorter distances, so 50 to 80K. And for those, I'll rely on something that's quick and easy. But if I was going longer, like for example, for UTMB last year or for anything above 100K, I would try as much as I can to put some whole foods in there for as long as possible, before relying on the gels.
So our first protocol is get ready for the logistics preparation that you will need, that you will need to embrace. Number two, Joe.
Is on that same point. So number two, and this comes back to the sports science in me, is think of this as a puzzle with an N of one. So you are the study, and you now have to identify what your strengths and weaknesses are across all of these different logistics, and then singly focus on how each of these is going to be improved leading into it. So some good examples would be, okay, so you know that the race is going to be in heat, let's say 30 plus degrees. Well, you can't simply expect to turn up in that if you're someone who doesn't tolerate heat or hasn't been heat acclimatized leading into that. So you now need to look at options. And there are many different ways that people are using heat training now very effectively to prepare for something like that. It could be a muscle conditioning issue where you find that actually on long descents that your muscles are failing very quickly. And now it becomes, okay, well, a priority for me if I want to do these ultras is to get into the gym and start doing lots of lower leg specific, particularly quad specific conditioning, include much more downhill running into my weekly training. So it is
Have
really.
you had to do that yourself, Joe? And especially you've had to do something because you would have been a predominantly fast twitch muscle fiber athlete, and all of a sudden you're going to the complete opposite end of the scale. So have you been deliberately working on trying to ramp up those slow twitch muscle fibers? Would that be the right way to say it?
Yeah, the muscle conditioning for me has been an absolute game changer in this kind of commitment to actually trying to run competitively now in the ultra trail. So, like I mentioned, one of my after Eco Trail, one of my first big ones was UTMB Istria, the 110K, but it was just 2 weeks after an 800 where all my training was for that. So I'd done no specific work, and there was one. Now I consider it quite a small descent. It was about, 7K gradual downhill, about 40 kilometers in, coming into the first major aid station. And I remember getting to the bottom and meeting my wife and say, I'm in trouble, my quads are failing. And the same, I went to UTMB Wildstrubel in Kandersteg, Switzerland. And same, there was a huge descent early on in that race, and I just absolutely trashed my quads. And it was day over in both of them. I was limping in massive amounts of pain. I haven't yet DNF'd a race, with the exception of some heat issues in UTMB where I was pulled out in an ambulance. But I've certainly been lo long way off my expected or wanted pace because of a muscle failure. So The big thing for me was getting back in the gym. I hadn't been for quite a number of years since I'd been, really competitive on the track, and that changed a lot. And part of that was for me getting out and realizing I can't just go for the easy runs around here. If I've got to do an hour and a half run, don't just put your shoes on and go out in your local loops. I've got to commit to getting to the mountains, get some specific downhill and uphill work in on the trails. So now, this year, now I'm kind of all in on this. My general goal is if I'm going for a run, I do some form of uphill, downhill training as part of that run.
And in fairness, it seems to be working very well, because looking at the results from that Istria 100 back in 2023, I think you finished 20th in that race. Now, albeit it was 110K, but you came back this year to the 69K, and you're significantly up the rankings and a sixth place in Istria
Yeah, it was
this
a big
year.
breakthrough for me yesterday, this year, for sure.
And then backed up then again, a month later with the Ultra Trail Snowdonia. A top 10 in that as well. So all that specific conditioning, it is working for you.
And even in them, there are such different races. I talked about the logistics of this, and that's what I'm just really loving at the moment, is kind of trying to explore what works for me. Obviously, I've got big strengths when it comes to flat, runnable, or very fast sections of trail where I'm clearly the fastest person out there on the day. But then you get into the technical big mountains, and suddenly I'm really, really down on the list of the pecking order. So it's one on one side, I want to try and find the race that I really can compete at, and something like Istria, and the next big target for me is UTMB Puglia, where we're really looking for a top five there in November. But then also, the big goal is to get around UTMB. And not competitively. I still don't want to go there and be competitive. I just want that life experience. And to do that, I need to master the big mountains. So for that, Snowdonia was really a big breakthrough for me, in that I thought that was one that was really going to test my ability to, some big technical descents. The first big descent off Snowdon is very technical, and you're moving fast over 55K. So I'm really proud of how that one went. It wasn't quite as good of a performance as Istria was, but it was still a big breakthrough for me. In how much the work is paying off.
Very good. You haven't had to had a sprint finish with anybody in any of these races just yet, no.
Not yet, no, but I'm really looking forward to it.
I look forward to the day, Joe. Okay, so for the second one there, it's all about looking at your own individual strengths and weaknesses, identifying them, and then really working on them, Joe, and not just saying, oh, well, it will come together for me, or the muscles will adapt themselves. You do have to do that focus work, whether it's on your quads for descending or whatever it might be. You need to identify it and you need to work on it. Number three, Joe, or have we covered it maybe already? Is there a third separate one?
There is, but let's just one more thing with that one, because it's an interesting lesson from the last race, because you talked about I did UTMB Val d'Aran, but like it really is, you do have to do your homework and understand you're not just preparing yourself, but you're preparing for the specific discipline or the sorry the event of which is coming up. So Val d'Aran had similar profile to UTMB Snowdonia, and whilst the standard is outstanding, I mean, I was totally blown away. I went into UTMB Snowdonia ranked, I think 12th or 13th on my UTMB index, whereas the same index in Val d'Aran gave me 77th going in. So that shows the difference. But whilst the profile was very similar, and I wanted to look for a top 30, top 40 finish there, what I didn't account for and didn't prepare for is the altitude. And because obviously you live at sea level in Ireland, that's very difficult to prepare for. And that meant that on the day there was nothing for me to give. I was totally out of contention very early on. And so managing these logistics also means you have to make some very difficult decisions if you want to be competitive at these longer distances, in getting yourself in the right environment at the right time in the right place. Consider Jim Walmsley having to move to the Alps, for example, if he really wanted to have a go at UTMB. That's the level of specificity we're talking about here if you want to master these distances.
No, absolutely. And we've seen some of the Irish guys over the years move abroad. Ricky Wynn, for example, that we spoke about off air beforehand. Ricky has made those sacrifices. He's got into the big European mountains and he spent training
Absolutely.
periods there, and he's got the results as well. So it's a very good lesson for any of the young elite guys coming through. If they want to compete at the international stage, they need to go international and get into those big mountains and go high and live high. Okay, super advice, Joe. Number three.
Number three is You must stay disciplined. And I think this is the easiest one to lose when you're out on the trail and things are turning against you. And that discipline comes in many different forms, like in pacing strategies, holding back when you're supposed to hold back, knowing that it's okay to push when it's okay to push. But the big thing for discipline, I think, is that when things turn south, as they will do, it's a roller coaster running these ultras, that you've got to manage all of these things. For example, keep eating. When it gets hot and your stomach is shutting down, and for example, in Istria, I was violently getting sick a number of times because the temperature was in the 30s and really struggling with that temperature. But as soon as you got sick, I had to get it back in. You had to maintain and stay very stringent on keeping regimented with that discipline of getting that fuel in. So, there are many places that the longer these races go, which you will have the opportunity to check out. I'm not feeling it. I'm over it. Who cares anymore? You'll get maybe a little bit self-sabotage in there. You'll start having a negative mindset. And the hardest lesson to learn, and you have to do it with experience, is that no matter how you're feeling, I think the key thing for me is to remind myself, this suffering is temporary. I'm here because I chose to be here. And in order to choose to be here and do well, no matter how bad I'm feeling, I need to stay on top of these things and not let them slip. Because it's very, very easy to just be like, oh, who cares? What's happened? I don't care if I don't not eating. This race has gone downhill. I don't want to finish it. I don't want to be here. And inevitably, those downsides, those small lulls will dissipate. You'll start feeling better. But if you've done the damage in them periods, then you've done the damage for the race.
Yeah, and just speaking about eating, I think I heard Sean Kelly on the Tour de France coverage recently say that if you get to a point in a race where you feel the hunger, it's too late
Too
then.
late. Yeah,
It's too
absolutely.
late. You
Yeah.
gotta avoid feeling hungry by keeping those carbohydrates going into you regularly and consistency over the course of the race. Joe, some great tips there. Absolutely, some great tips and some great real life experience over the last couple of years that you've shared. Maybe just one final point from today, Joe. You mentioned Val d'Aran there a couple of weeks ago now, and a very, very tough weekend, a very, very tough racing environment, from electrical storms to altitude to the high temperatures. And we kind of joked post-race, Joe, that day when we were chatting about what you were going to do recovery-wise, because you had a fantastic episode on the Real Science of Sports podcast there a couple of weeks ago, which I think is one of the best sports podcasts in the world. It's superb what the lads do in it. And you spoke about the replication crisis that's hitting sports, and sometimes how it's very, very difficult to prove again. Studies that might show, for example, that different recovery techniques work, for example, whether it's ice baths or compression boots or whatever it might be. And I said to you, oh, Joe, what are you going to do now recovery wise post Val d'Aran? And he said to me, Owen, I'm just going to listen to the body and run easy, take it easy for a couple of days. And when I feel strong again, that's when I'll run strong again. So did you stick to that, Joe, or did you get the compression boots on and jump into the nearest ice bath, or what was your go-to recovery method post a very, very tough weekend in Val d'Aran?
Yeah, I absolutely stuck to my guns, Owen. I did not engage in any of these bogus recovery strategies. I slept, I ate, and I waited until the body felt like I wanted to run again. It's the single best measure of when you should be getting back training. When you wake up that day and you say, okay, now I want to run today. Today is the day I'd love to get out and start small. Started with a 20-minute shuffle. I'm back up now to maybe an hour, and I'll start getting specific again from this weekend and get right back to it. But it's an interesting point, this whole replication area, which is, it's very difficult for the athletes who are trying to prepare for these different events, to look at what the evidence, the science is saying, and try to make some really informed judgments about what they're seeing, because it's the climate is changing as far as the confidence in published research. And recovery, I think, is one that's particularly volatile, and there's a huge amount of these different recovery methods being thrown around. And even in Ireland now, you see all these recovery clinics pumping up all around the place. And the reason why people love them is because of that placebo effect. I feel like I've
Yes.
done something, invested in my recovery, therefore I must feel better. But I think the ultimate recovery tool is time, and I'll stick
Yeah.
with that one.
Yeah, and being true to yourself and true to how your body is feeling. And if anybody wants to listen to Joe talk in detail about that, I think it was around the last week in June, Joe, that you were on with Dr. Ross Tucker and the Real Science of Sport podcast. Joe, it's been a pleasure, mate, as always, to talk to you. And hopefully maybe, whether it's in 2 years' time or another 5 years' time, when we talk next on the podcast, you'll have completed that lap of Mont Blanc. And who knows, you might even have another international track medal to add to your trophy cabinet as well, Joe.
Thanks so much, Owen. I appreciate it.
Take care. Talk soon. Well, there we have it, guys. Hope you enjoyed that chat with Joe, and watch this space for more big results on the mountains from Joe over the coming years. And anytime you come across Joe's work from a sports science perspective, it is always worth stopping and taking note of what Joe has to say. For now, guys, keep up the great training and racing, everyone. Hope the build up to whatever race you might have on the horizon is going extremely well for you. Don't forget to pop over to Patreon if you can for just €3 a month to help keep the show going. For now, everybody, get your running gear on. Let's go.